The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
Kudos to the Rockets for making the big play when they needed to, in particular James Harden, who, let's face it, James Harden sucked last night. And then he made a defensive play that kind of makes it forgivable. That's really what happened. But because he made that play, let's not change things to James Harden played well, because he didn't. But he made the game-winning play. So when you win the game, people forget about the bad stuff. Credit where it's due. The Bucks brought that thing all the way back and tied a game that probably had no business being tied. But Giannis, when you're down with under a minute left and you've got free throws, you can't miss both of them.
No.
You cannot. We're talking about a guy who's about to get handed his second MVP trophy. That's the best player in the league. That's why when someone was asking me, like when I said I'd take Luka, if I could draft everybody, I would take Luka first overall right now.
I would too.
Somebody was like, over Giannis? He's about to win his second MVP, bro.
I don't think Luka would have missed those two shots.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Hour number three, 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz. Click like. You are good to go. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at A.J. is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates 975. You can text the show. You know the number for that. You can watch us on Twitch. Comment there. Missed the first 2 hours. That's some of what you missed. Been a pretty sportsy show. But guess what? College football is back tonight, so we're going to stay sportsy with Taylor McCarg, former Rice quarterback, college football analyst for ESPN. You can follow him on Twitter at T McCarg, McHargue16. And Taylor, great to have you back, man. And we were talking about you a little bit. How many games do you think you're going to get from ESPN? Have they talked to you yet about how much you're going to be working?
Got a handful right now, likely a few Rice games, and outside of that, we just don't know yet. Excited to just have any assignments right now. I know a lot of guys don't have any, or it's a lighter load than they have in years past. But like everybody else, just excited that it looks like we're going to have some football moving forward.
Well, speaking of Rice, wasn't there? They were supposed to have opening night tonight as well, right?
They were at Houston. I was looking forward to that game, and that got pushed. Still listed. It's kind of a tease on Twitter. I got a notification today for that game, and I was like, you know what? Twitter, we need to get that under control. I don't need you sending me notifications for games that aren't happening. But, it's obviously missing the Bayou Bucket this year.
So Central Arkansas played a football game last week. They were the only ones, them and Austin Peay, they were the only ones to play. And no positive tests after the game. This has got to be promising for college football around the country, right? Obviously, it's going to happen. There's going to be outbreaks. It's going to happen. But the first game having zero return, that has to be a positive thing, right?
It's absolutely a positive, and I agree with you that somewhere down the line, there's going to be an issue. There's going to be a flare-up of cases. We're not going to get through this season with however many teams are still playing with no cases, right? But it is positive that we got through a team. Both of these teams traveled. It was an offsite game for both of them. Traveled to a facility, played a game against one another, interacting with one another, and then they go back home, test, and they're fine and able to move on. And a lot of teams were looking to that for, you know, proving up, can we feasibly make this happen moving forward? And that sort of was the early catalyst for whether or not they can pull this off. And it'll be a week by week thing. And like you said, it's really going to be how do you counteract once there is a breakout of some variety. And I think you've seen a lot of schools build in bye weeks, extra bye weeks to try and if they need to shuffle games around, they can. But yes, in the short term, definitely a positive that there were no positive cases for Central Arkansas.
Taylor McCarg, our guest, and looking forward here, how from a practical standpoint, when you're going to be doing these games, are you going to be able to travel to them? Are you going to have to do them from watching them on TV. I know a lot of guys are doing that. How's that going to make your job different?
Yeah, it looks like it's going to be on a case-by-case basis. Some schools are allowing guys to come in, and I think the one thing that is kind of a no-brainer is you're not going to see the in-person interviews on the field and before games, things like that. What also remains to be seen, like Rice is a good example, that's an old press box, and having guys in there that are, a lot of times you pack three or four guys into a pretty small suite in the press box. What does that look like? But other programs are requesting that it be a remote broadcast, and that's actually what last weekend's game with Central Arkansas, that was those guys were not on site. And so if you listen in closely, you'll be able to tell when they're there. You'll hear, we're live from wherever. Obviously, that means they're on site, but a lot of them won't be. They're going to be a Rimi broadcast where they're somewhere complete, wherever across the country, but calling a game that's several states over.
One of the big things that happened over the week was Jamie Newman for Georgia deciding to opt out of the season. Obviously, there were high hopes for him after Jake Fromm left, and everybody assumed that Georgia would have minimal fall off because they'd found this this quarterback transfer. What's Georgia like now, and are we still looking at Georgia like a top tier contender that we would have a week ago?
I do think it's a step down. I think Kirby Smart looks smart now for having gone after JT Daniels. I know that move was questioned, but there is a drop down to JT Daniels. I would say Georgia for me was a right there at the top with Clemson for the national championship run. Now I think this moves them into the second rung of the top echelon of teams. JT Daniels is a good, solid college quarterback. He was not the same player as a Jamie Newman, not the same production, playmaking ability. So it's going to be a little bit more confined with JT Daniels. But if there's a team that can rally around a guy on short notice, I think it's Georgia. They still have a lot of talent coming back.
So we do know that we've heard a lot of rumors about the Big Ten and whether or not they may revisit this. But as of now, no Pac-12, no Big Ten. Do you think we'll still wind up with a playoff? And if so, who do you think? Is it basically the usual suspects, the Clemsons, the Alabamas, the Oklahomas?
I think two things. I think, yes, we're going to get a college football playoff. And I think the second piece is now more than ever, you're really going to get the usual suspects because you didn't get any of the early season missteps that you see a lot of times with these blue chip programs that travel to an offsite game or a neutral site game and might lose in week one. Now they're playing just the familiar foes in their conference. And I think the teams you just listed, I think it's going to go chalk for the college football playoff. What remains to be seen is if the Big Ten were to sort of pull a rabbit out of the hat and what they're kicking around right now is an October start, what does the college football playoff look like if do they come back and say, we're going to delay the playoff into mid-January, late January, and let the Big Ten complete their season so that Ohio State, let's call a spade a spade, basically so Ohio State has a shot at it? Or do they say, we're going to have this, execute this as it was originally scheduled and the Big Ten's just going to miss the boat? I'm not sure. Bowl games, in the same conversation, what does that look like? You're almost guaranteed to have a lot of programs that if they are having bowls, they're going to have to fill those with teams that are not bowl eligible. And I'm talking like 4-8 teams that these are not good teams that you're going to see playing in the quote-unquote postseason. So as this plays out, there's a lot of questions that are still unanswered.
Do you think that people are going to view this season at the end of it like a phony baloney college football season because not all the teams are playing?
Probably. I think it also depends on what does the product look like at the end of the season? How does kids sitting out affect it? How does this just odd practice schedule, if the football looks bad, if the optics look bad and you get to the season and there's just like a Clemson, for example, just blows everybody out all the way through and they win the national championship. Yeah, I think people are going to look at this season as it's going to have an asterisk by it. But if it's quality football and you get a group of four teams that it still feels about like it should, maybe not as much, but I can tell you that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten, if they're not included, they're always going to say that it's not legitimate. So one way or another, this season's unprecedented. There's going to be a lot of things that we talk about for many, many years tied to this season. But I will say, from the last time that we visited, I have a lot of optimism about us actually getting the season off, a lot more than I did than the last time we spoke.
You know, thinking about the way that these teams have had to prepare in the offseason, do you see the offense or defense having an advantage early in the season?
I would say defense. I would say, and I used to listen to your show quite a bit when I live in Houston. I would tell you, for your audience that partakes, the unders might be the early season nod. I'll give you an example. Basically every year, when you start camp and you're installing the offense, the defense wins every scrimmage. And it's just because it is easier to play sound, fast football on defense than it is on offense early on. And I think you're going to see a lot of that. If you look at that, and I get it was lower level football, but the Austin Peay Central Arkansas game was as sloppy as it gets in college football. And I would expect more of that early on from a lot of teams, that the practice schedule was start and stop. In some cases, you've got guys that are sitting out. And so I would say that this favors the defense, at least for the first two or three games of the season.
One more before we let you go. I was debating someone the other day who said that if the playoff goes now and there is no Pac-12 and Big Ten, does that give a group of five a better school a better chance to get in? And they thought it did. I think it doesn't, because they're not going to have any victories over Power Five programs, and you're still going to wind up wanting a two-loss SEC team over a team like that. Curious where you come down on that.
I think I tend to agree with you on that. It's really going to depend on, do you have somebody that runs the AAC? Do you have somebody that runs the table that just looks dominant? And do you have, if it's got to come down to a two-loss SEC or Big 12 type of school versus a dominant AAC champion. If it's cloudy at all, I agree with you that Power Five school is going to get the nod. But in the case of it's really the American Athletic Conference that we're talking about that would have the chance at it. If you have a Central Florida or a UCF or a Memphis run the table, it's easier for them in this season to do that because they aren't having to play the games like you're talking about, where they go play a Power Five on the road. They're playing just their conference slate. And if they run through and they're dominant, I think there's a real scenario that you see them in the playoff at the end of the season.
All right, that's Taylor McCarg. You can follow him on Twitter. And, Taylor, looking forward to having you on this season. And we've got football, so that's a great thing.
We do have football. It's a great thing. And thanks, guys. Looking forward to visiting with you next week.
All right. Wonder what mask he's wearing.
I don't know, but I would be wearing that Boomer Naturals mask, obviously.
I'll model it for the people on
Please
Twitch.
Do. And, guys, let me tell you, if you want a mask that's actually going to protect you, this is the way to go. You don't want to just throw on some bandana over your face or something. The great thing about these Boomer Natural masks, they've got three layers, and one of those layers has nano silver woven into the fabric. And that nano silver, what it does is it stops the droplets and the particles from getting through to your nose and mouth. And that's the whole purpose of the mask. A lot of masks don't have that. That's what sets them apart. They've got sizes for adults, teens, and children. So they've got an actual size that's going to fit your face. Mask fit, also very important. And then they've got the neck gaiters like Fred has on, which a lot of people love. And it's still got that nano silver woven in, so it's still protecting him. And they donate a face cover for every order to nonprofits and charities, and that helps tens of thousands of Americans in need. We're talking about soup kitchens, veterans, Native Americans, people who wouldn't otherwise have access to them. Order now at BoomerNaturals.com. Use promo code Hoffman. Save 20%. That's promo code Hoffman at BoomerNaturals.com. Or check them out in your local CVS today. That's Boomer Naturals. When I'm on the molly, I feel savage. Ain't my girl the definition of a bad bitch. Stole a heart, I'm the definition of a bandit. Put the perks down. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So a lot of college football talk now. So we talked a lot of Rockets today, talked a lot of college football. It's been a very sportsy show today.
Yeah. Which it's a sportsy time.
It is. Where do you want to go? You want to do more sports or you want to do something else? I got some NFL. Because you know what?
We haven't talked any NFL, really. I was hoping that we could talk a little.
We talked Leonard Fournette a little bit.
That's true.
But I guess there's rumors going around. I saw Jadeveon Clowney trending on Twitter. Apparently, speculation he may sign with the Saints.
He's got to hurry up and sign somewhere. He's running out of time. And whatever he's done, I think he's lost himself some money. He sort of did the Dallas Keuchel move where he's like, nope, not taking your money. I'm waiting for a mega deal. And then it's like, oh, mega deal's not coming. Wait. Okay, I guess I'll just take whatever you give me. I mean, what's the alternative at this point? Sit out the season?
Yeah, I mean, he's...
That going to make people think you're a real football guy if you're willing to do that?
And unless you were planning to opt out from the COVID anyway.
He better hurry up and say that if that's the case.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we're going to go, oh, well, nobody wants him.
Well, that's...
Then it's suddenly he's like Leonard Fournette. Got that stain on him.
Well, that stain lasted all of one day on Fournette,
that's true.
Though.
I mean, but it lasted until every team said, no, we don't want to trade for him, and then said, no, we won't pick him up off waivers for a $4 million salary.
But if you know he's going to be out there and...
You didn't think any team was going to pick him up on waivers? I sure didn't. I thought somebody would say, oh, $4 million for a starting caliber running back? Okay. But... No, nobody wanted him.
I think part of the problem is you're going to be paying $4 million for a guy that, it's like I said the other day, I mean, you can't bring him in to be a third running back right now because that guy has to play special teams. You're not going to put Leonard Fournette on special teams.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teams where Leonard Fournette would show up and be he'd be in their rotation. I mean, Tampa, he should be in the mix to be the top guy.
Well, but that's the thing. That's a place where he could
be here and be in the mix to be the top guy.
You're not going to spend another $4 million on a running back.
No, but I'm saying there's lots of teams around the league where Leonard Fournette wouldn't have been the third running back had they brought him in.
Yeah. Doesn't appear they were all that interested. Plus, teams are pretty far along with what
But that's
got,
what I'm saying.
You know?
With Clowney, if nobody wants him, it looks bad.
Well, I think it looks bad, but it also looks like, you know what, teams, especially this late in camp, unless you get an injury, like if your starting running back is hurt, then, yeah, you'd probably be interested in Leonard Fournette. If you're looking at your pass rush, he's not a pass rush, but you're looking at your defensive line and saying, hey, we need some more impact on the defensive line here. This is, you know, we're not going to win a Super Bowl without it. You're probably looking at him. So, let's see what other NFL we got. I've got, we've probably done too much gambling. I'll save that for tomorrow. But I've got, you know, the latest over-under win totals for everybody. But, I did a thing today on the Texans, just kind of how set their roster is for SportsMap. There's just not that many positions up for grabs. And ordinarily, I'd say that's a good thing. Because you're bringing in, you should be pretty set with your lineup.
Yeah.
And I think it's a good thing for the offensive line. I think... It's probably a good thing for tight end. I think they're pretty good there. And I think the receiving core, if healthy, of course, is got a chance to be pretty damn
good. You think
good.
They're good at tight end?
I think they're average to okay at tight end. There's depth there.
I think they've got several number two tight ends.
Well, the reality is most teams don't have a Kittle or a Gronk or anything like that. So based on that, you know, they've got... They're okay.
They've got serviceable guys.
But see, I think
they've got multiple serviceable guys.
Yeah,
which is
yeah. Like
a
you could plug them in, and you're not going to notice much of a difference. And that's neither. It's good and bad. You're not going to notice them being a lot better than the other guy.
Right.
But you know, running back to me, it's like, yeah, you got two serviceable guys, but are they serviceable? I mean, you didn't use Duke Johnson well last year.
No.
There's so many plays that. Yeah, that's a guy that you should be running screens to, and you should be running, wheel routes to, and get him out there more than what you do catching the football. Maybe they'll do that this year. Maybe suddenly the coaching staff will transform into a competent one. But it seems like, okay, so either guy, maybe they're good, maybe they're not. I kind of feel that way about the whole defensive line rotation, is they've got a bunch of guys that, you know, you look at them and you go.
Besides JJ.
Yeah, I mean, JJ is, but again, now you're counting on him to be healthy.
Right.
I mean, let's start with that. So the of all the things that could go wrong in the season, it's fair to say health, you know, every team deals with it.
Right.
But that's a position where.
But they have a guy who's had a history of injury. Honestly, right. the two most important guys to this team now both have a history of injuries in J.J. Watt and Deshaun Watson. And it feels like you can't overcome an injury to either one of those guys.
Probably not, because here's what else you have.
Because the rest of the defense isn't good enough this year to make up for him being gone. And Ross Blacklock is not DJ Reader.
No.
And I know
Brandon Dunn is not DJ Reader.
No, I guess people
probably going to start and replace him.
I guess people don't think it's a big deal that DJ Reader's gone. I think it's a huge deal, and it's even more mind-blowing to me that they're like, "Oh, well, we better lock up Zach Cunningham. We better pay this guy and this guy and this guy," when you didn't have money for DJ Reader. You had money to bring in David Johnson on the nuke trade. Like,
They still got $20 million in cap room they haven't used. You can't tell me.
You couldn't have used that?
Couldn't have used some half of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
That's a bad personnel decision. And it seems more often than not the bad personnel decisions they make are who they re-sign, but or what they re-sign them for. This is one where I think you let an important guy, a guy that's more important than you think he is, you let him walk.
And here's your, okay, Watt obviously is, you know, that's one guy. And on your depth chart, they have Brandon Dunn and Charles Omenihu as your other starters.
No, Omenihu over Angelo Blackson?
Yeah, which, okay. I mean, it makes sense. He's a rookie. But you know they're going to play six guys. So Blackson.
True.
Carlos Watkins, Ross Blacklock, maybe PJ Hall. But that's the thing. You've got a lot of guys there who are the same guy.
Yeah.
But none of them are one you say, oh, I feel good about that position.
No.
Linebacker, I kind of feel the same way. I mean, yet right now they've got Merciless and Scarlett starting outside with Greenard and Jacob Martin. Now I'm hearing Jacob Martin's having a really good camp, and he's probably going to wind up starting on that other side.
Over Brent Scarlett.
Yeah. Okay. Which wouldn't. But again, you're not really. I mean, I'm not excited about Whitney Merciless.
And you got the money boys, Cunningham and McKinney, on the inside, which I feel good about those guys. But
I feel better.
I feel they're overpaid, but I feel good about them.
I feel better about Cunningham than I do McKinney. McKinney is such a liability in pass coverage. They should never do it. Dylan Cole's not a bad backup. So, again, you're okay there. But then you get to your secondary. And I think you've got one guy that you can really count on.
Justin Reed.
In Justin Reed. And, I mean, Bradley Roby's okay, but is he a one? He's going to be your one. And then it's the same group we saw last year, Gary and Conley. Maybe Lonnie Johnson improves.
I've heard Lonnie Johnson to safety is more likely to happen than anything.
You know, Vernon Hargraves.
I don't like Vernon Hargraves.
Yeah, I mean, that's your guys. John Reed, who they drafted. He's probably not going to play much early.
John Reed is. I've heard good things about him too. Maybe he's a guy who is a surprise, but
maybe. I mean, but that's the thing. I don't think you can count on rookies, and that's one thing I would give O'Brien credit for, is he kind of recognized that this wasn't going to be a rookie type year because you weren't going to have the time with the rookie minicamp and all the things you have to do to work them in. So, yeah, I get that. But those positions are set, but there's just some of them where you go, is that really going to be good enough? Am I really comfortable with Gary and Conley and Bradley Roby as my starting corners? Am I comfortable with Eric Murray or Jalen Watkins at strong safety? That's the thing. I mean, those positions are, whenever you say, oh, it looks like all the positions are set, you usually think that's a good thing. I just don't know if it is. In this case. But we'll find out a week from tonight when we'll be out of Carbach. How about that? And I'll be betting on my bookie because the NFL's about to be back. College football back tonight. Placed a wager while we were talking to Brad earlier on mybookie.ag. They've got everything. You want to bet baseball? They got that. NBA, got that. Soccer, you want to get in on that red hot Dynamo action? They got that. And guys, anything, MyBookie has you covered. What I love most about MyBookie is they pay. And when you cash out, you actually get paid. A lot of these websites, part of the gamble is putting your money in there. But that's not the case in MyBookie. And if you join today, how about this? They're going to double your first deposit. Just enter promo code RADIO. And, man, it makes the games more interesting. It really does. If you're kind of having trouble getting into some of these things, go get a bet on it. And bet as much as you want or as little as you want. You can play parlays. You can do all of it. In-game, by the way. And they'll double your first deposit when you enter promo code RADIO. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. 713-780. ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Now we got a little NFL talk in there. Hey, did you see who joined Twitter?
No.
Vin Scully.
Can't wait to not follow Vin Scully.
I mean,
unless he tweets, Benghazi ain't going nowhere, brother.
92 years old, and he just got on Twitter. I mean, how exciting is that going to be? Sarcasm alert. Hello, everyone. This is Vin Scully here. Delighted to join you on Twitter. Have a great day.
I like Vin Scully as much as anybody, but I'm not looking to follow him on Twitter.
I think he's
nothing
from
that.
He's an all-time great. I mean, he still sounds pretty good for a 92-year-old. But yeah, I don't. I got no interest in a 92-year-old's Twitter account. What's he gonna tell me?
Yeah.
Oh boy. But hey, good for him. I guess you can teach old dogs new tricks. Don't know if you saw this, but the NFL teams are gonna close their facilities on Election Day so everyone can vote. Aren't NFL teams usually off on Tuesdays anyway?
Yeah.
Okay, so all they're going to do is just shut down everything else.
Yeah.
Okay. Just.
I mean, and I'm guessing that, I don't know. If the Texans did have something to do, they could just go over to the bubble across the street.
Well, but I think the point is shut everything down so these guys can go vote. So all their people who work.
Yeah, they probably should.
Yeah.
I mean, you know the coaching staff is going to be in the office. I mean, they have to work on a game plan.
Yeah.
Basically 24/7 from the time
the game ends. But if the whole league dictates it, though. So the score had some veteran guys who could get whacked. We've already seen Thomas and Fournette and Mohamed Sanu. They've got 10 veterans in danger of being cut. I want you to tell me what the odds are you think that these guys get whacked. D.D. Westbrook of the Jaguars.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. The Jags seem like they're in total tank mode, and I hate it because I like Trevor Lawrence so much that I want desperately for him not to go to Jacksonville. I feel like it would ruin him.
You get to watch him two times a year when they play.
But it would ruin him. It would ruin him.
I don't know.
It's almost like being drafted by the Browns at this point. Like you pretty much go in with weights that tied to your ankles. You've almost got no chance.
When was the last time the Browns were in an AFC Championship game?
Pre-Jaguars AFC Championship game.
Yeah, okay. Just checking. It's not.
When's the last quarterback the Jaguars drafted that ended up having a successful NFL career?
Well, I mean, he can't overcome that. I mean, he's not that he's not good enough to overcome the Jaguars.
I mean, maybe he is, but I just hope that I hope that some team with a real quarterback who's like, I don't want to wish this on anyone, but like I hope the Colts, like Philip Rivers, if Philip Rivers, God forbid, were to get hurt, and they would go 1-15, and then the Colts could get Trevor Lawrence. I would like the.
Hate that because.
I mean, I would hate for if I'm a Texans.
No,
fan.
No, not as a Texans fan, but those guys have already won the lottery twice. You don't get to win it a third time.
Okay, so what if I'm trying to think of someone else who could be in that same situation? The Saints, if Drew Brees were to get hurt, and the Saints go 1-15,
wait, they've got like the future quarterback.
That guy's
already.
Not even a real quarterback. But if they go 1-15, and now they're, it's like, whoa, well, it, you know, maybe we get, it's time to move on. Boom, there you go. There's your guy.
Actually, here's one for you. Dak gets hurt.
Oh, there's a real good one.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Oh, you know, Jarrah would love that, Bubba.
That would be like a best case scenario.
Yeah.
You know what's going to happen?
It'll be the Packers. No, didn't the Packers their first round this
Jordan
year?
Love. Yeah, they just drafted that. That guy's going to be a donkey. Who would be a surprise kind of really bad team that it would only take a couple injuries?
Seahawks. You lose Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
You've got nothing.
But, I mean, Russell Wilson would have to die. Like, they're not going to draft a replacement quarterback for Russell Wilson if he gets hurt for the season.
Well, you know what, though?
If you could let Trevor Lawrence sit behind Russell Wilson
They would trade, like, they would take the moon and trade for him, but they wouldn't move on from Russ.
What if they if they would take Lawrence on his rookie deal and trade Russ? You don't think
get
a haul?
Let him sit 1 year behind Russell Wilson.
No, let him sit. If you draft the guy, you want him on his rookie deal, right? So you can build a better team around him.
That's a good one.
You know who it's going to be. Here's my prediction. Arizona Cardinals.
Already?
Yeah. They're going to totally collapse, and then they're going to have to decide between Kyler Murray off an injury or Trevor Lawrence. They would be the kind of team that would get the number one pick again. I think the Jets might be in that mix.
Yeah, if the Jets are that bad, they would have to move on from Sam Darnold.
Yeah.
You know who I think they're going to be better than this? But they play in a tough division, and I could see them having a rough season. And I think they'll be better than what I'm talking about. But if they do have a rough season, they'd certainly want one, would be the Raiders.
Yeah, I don't think the Raiders are bad enough to
think it's going to be – and honestly, I think Trevor is kind of screwed either way. I think the teams that could potentially do – oh, here's another team if they lost their quarter. If Matt Stafford got hurt, the Lions would be the worst team, I think, easily.
But that's worse than Jacksonville. Though,
it is.
Because that's another franchise.
Well, and here's the other franchise that I would think is maybe an option to have the worst record, the Washington football players. Like,
yeah.
None of those situations would be good for my man Trev.
Well, then, you know what? Maybe the Jaguars don't look so bad, pal.
Oh, there is one more option.
Yeah.
The Browns.
Oh, God.
I mean,
it is a possibility too.
It is.
It really is.
If Baker totally stinks it up this year, the Browns have proven before they'll throw your ass out.
Yeah, I would say that. What if Ben got hurt? But he got hurt last year, and they still damn near made the playoffs. So
that's a good roster.
Really
too.
Trust that Anthony Lynn could get something out of him in L.A. if he fell there.
They just drafted a first round quarterback.
Yeah,
they've got Justin Herbert.
Yeah.
And listen, I haven't seen any of camp, but I see him whipping it around on Hard Knocks, and I'm like, whew, that boy can throw it, man. Although it looks like he's basically said there's no chance that Justin Herbert's our starter. Like, Tyrod Taylor is the guy there. And by the way, I've seen Tyrod Taylor as the starter. I know how this story ends, but eventually, I'll give it 6 weeks before he gives up the starting gig. Tyrod Taylor, to me, is one of the best backup quarterbacks in the NFL.
You can win games with him. He only got the Bills to the playoffs.
But anytime you're going into the season with him as your starter, I think you're doing yourself a
disservice. You certainly have a ceiling that's 9-7 at best,
yeah,
basically.
And like the Chargers, to me, you're in a division with the Chiefs. You're probably not winning the division, let's face it, unless, barring a Mahomes injury. And even then, I don't know.
Yeah, I think, you know, the one thing you could kind of count on is it wouldn't be a shock if the Chiefs just had a hangover year, especially with all this other crap going on.
But if you're the Chargers.
But you're still not. I mean, they would have to.
You're playing the odds.
Right.
The odds are the Chargers are not going to be in the mix for the division.
Well, they're not thinking that way, though. You know, if you're the Chargers, you're not thinking like that at all. You know, you've got a damn good defense. Maybe Phillip Rivers was part of the problem last year. And, you know, if Herbert's not ready, win 9 games with Tyrod Taylor and get in the playoffs.
I mean, you won 5 games last year. If you anybody who's 5-11 one year and thinks that they've got a real shot to catch the defending Super Bowl champs for the division title, if you're not thinking that way, you're a little delusional.
Well, but that's...
And at some point, you have to think about, like, the future. And to me, playing Justin Herbert now is probably the better thing for him. Because you're right, it's not an awful roster.
Well, go look at where they ranked on defense last year for that record and how many close games they had. If you're part of that organization, you're not looking at it like we can't win. You're looking at it like I can't remember exactly how many games that they lost by one possession in the last 2 minutes. And you're looking at that saying, okay, if we get more solid quarterback play and our defense is better, which it very well could be, then you know what? We can win this year. And if you get out to a bad start, you say, all right, now it's time to get Herbert in there and develop him. I mean, that's, I think that's what any franchise is going to do, except, I mean, nobody sets out thinking we're going to be 0-16.
And I think maybe the Jaguars are trying. I think they're looking at that.
Dolphins tried that last year. How'd that work out? I mean, they still got the guy they wanted.
Yeah.
So D.D. Westbrook was the first guy on that list. Vic Beasley of the Titans, apparently, in danger of getting whacked. How far has Paxton Lynch fallen that the Steelers might cut him?
I think you were the only person who believed that that guy would be good.
He always had the...
You and John Elway, two guys.
John Elway, pretty decent track record, but... He has all the physical tools. He's apparently just mentally a wreck. He's a real... Hakeem Butler of the Cardinals. They've got a bunch of guys. That wouldn't shock me. Sidney Jones, cornerback of the Eagles. Apparently he's fallen out of favor. Justin Evans of the Bucks. Here's a Texan for you. I don't know if this guy's even counts as a veteran. Kiki Kuti.
No, but I'm almost certain he's going to be cut. He's already hurt. And
they might just IR him and stash him for the year again, but figuring you might not have all those guys back next year.
I don't know if he's worth that. When you think about Fuller, Cobb, Stills, Cooks, and...
Well, Carter's on there because he's your returner.
Yeah, and Carter. So that's your 5 guys. You don't need him. Because they're going to want to carry 4 tight ends.
Of course.
Because they've
Kahale Warren.
Yep, they've got to keep him. Fells, Jordan Thomas, Jordan Akins. And didn't they draft somebody? Did they draft somebody, another tight end this year?
No, I don't think they did.
Okay, just making sure.
The other 3, Jordan Wilkins of the Colts. Lamar Miller of the Patriots. Doesn't look like he's going to. Well, they got so many running backs.
They don't need him.
And Marcus Hunt of the Saints. He had 17 tackles in 16 games last season with the Colts. And if they wind up signing Clowney, then that's another guy. But nothing really sexy on that list. Here's a good one with the Bengals draft Lawrence. If they got the number one pick. Boy, if they wind up with the number one pick, though, then you might be wrong about Joe Burrow.
Yeah.
Although Troy Aikman won 1 game his first season, too.
Yeah, you can't do it. I won't say you can't do it because Arizona did do it after 1 year. But it's not good. It's not good habit to do after 1 year.
But moving forward, who do you think, your prediction today, who's going to be the better pro?
Between Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow?
Yeah.
And Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah, I agree too. So.
If Trevor Lawrence had come, had he been able to come out last year, he would have been the first pick.
Yeah, without a doubt. But, I mean, that's not what I'm asking. I'm asking who has the better pro career.
I think Trevor Lawrence.
But if he goes to
Jacksonville, all bets are off.
Well, I don't know. I think Jacksonville's not a worse situation than Cincinnati is. Cincinnati's a pretty bad situation, too.
Yeah.
At least they've got their health.
That's true. A late health. Guys, if you or someone you know is suffering from a prostate issue, BPH, they call it, enlarged prostate, and if you've looked into the options... As far as the medical options, it ain't great. Surgical options, it's not great. And it's right now, I got to tell you, guess what it is? Prostate Awareness Month. You may want to get it checked. and you don't need surgery. So stop being afraid of it. You don't have to get that drill in your pee hole like they used to do, or like they still do, the other guys. Not Dr. Doe, though. A late health Dr. Doe, and there's a new doctor there, Dr. Manavese. They both are experts in the PAE, which is a minimally invasive procedure. It's done right there in the office. You're in and out in a couple hours, and nobody in Houston has done as many procedures as Dr. Doe. He's the guy you want. It's covered by most insurance plans. Learn more today, 832-850-4618. You don't need surgery, guys. Check them out. Choose PAE.com, 832-850-4618.
On ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Last segment of the day.
Thursdays are always fun, and honestly, it was so nice having Brad Powers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
We haven't talked to Brad. I mean, Taylor was great, too, but we haven't talked to Brad in so long. It was great for him to be back with us, and of course, you can check him out at bradpowersports.com, but I that was really fun for me to get that dude back in the mix. I'm all for it.
Yeah, me too, and, you know, he's still really good at what he does. And and it was fun kind of hearing about some of his prep and everything else. So today very sportsy, but it felt like a good sportsy to me.
Yeah,
you know, not a boy. We got to talk about how Bill O'Brien made all these stupid mistakes again. We'll get that next week. But you know, I thought it was great to have him. And I said Taylor, between those two, we're gonna have college football really covered this year. So feel pretty good about that.
Pretty exciting.
All right, we got a little Hopping on Hollywood?
We do have a little of that. Let's start with your boy, Nikki Sixx from Motley Crue. Guess what he's done?
I'm not going to do that joke.
He agreed to postpone the stadium tour. So he, but he decided, because I guess because they lost a bunch of money with that, he decided that he's going to sell their entire song catalog.
Wow.
So Motley Crue's entire song catalog gone to a music publishing company. The deal gives Hypnosis Songs 100% of the royalties from Motley Crue's 305 song catalog. The money he got has not been revealed, so I'm not really sure what it's going to be. But they're not going to get any money from any of their songs anymore. If any of their songs get used in commercials,
right?
They're not going to get money for that. But that's,
I'm guessing they got a big chunk.
They had to. Well, and I think Nikki Sixx was the guy who owned all of it anyway. He was kind of the, I think he was the big breadwinner in that,
yeah,
in that band. He had the big chunk because I think he was like the songwriter. He was the guy who, I think he's the guy who started the band. And he, you know, Tommy Lee ended up being more famous than him.
Well, Vince Neil probably more
Vince
famous
Neil
than him too.
But he, it was his band.
Mick Mars was kind of the Ringo Starr.
Sorry guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm curious to see what kind of dough they got for that. But that's a big music deal. The Godfather 3. You're excited already, aren't you?
They're burning it forever and never showing it again.
Nope, they're doing a redo.
Oh no!
Paramount announced today that it will release a new edit and restoration of Francis Ford Coppola's feature. Yes, it's going to be called Mario Puzo's The Godfather Coda, The Death of Michael Corleone. And I don't know what's going to happen with it.
Spoiler alert. Yeah, just gave away the ending.
Right. They say it's a more appropriate version, will better represent the original vision of Coppola and screenwriter Puzo, what they shared for the concluding chapter. So they decided that this was the way to go. And
is Sofia Coppola still in it?
I don't think so.
Okay, that's a step in the right direction.
But here's what I'll say. Can it get worse?
Yeah, but I've already seen how bad it is. Do I want... Like, this is like the whole Snyder cut of Justice League. Do I really want to sit through it again just to see what little cosmetic changes they made? Which I will, but still. I don't know. That movie is so awful, I don't think I can do it. Not unless it gets a bunch of great reviews.
So, apparently, this isn't good. Tenet, which is supposed to be like the big movie
right,
coming out.
Right, Christopher Nolan's been insisting has to be released in theaters.
Right. Well, guess what? Apparently, you can't hear a lot of it. They've got audio issues.
What?
Yeah, the film's dialogue has been criticized by reviewers and audience members for often being impossible to make out. Given how hard Nolan's blockbuster would be to understand if all the dialogue was crystal clear, it is curious that he's made it doubly difficult to hear the story of a screenplay he supposedly spent 5 years writing. And if you remember, what was the other movie he did that got knocked for bad sound? Interstellar.
Interstellar, yeah.
And like, why can't he figure this out?
Maybe hire a better sound guy.
You got one job, bud. Like, come on. Batman. Robert Pattinson, speaking of Robert Pattinson, who's also in Tenet, Robert Pattinson got COVID-19.
Oh.
Yeah. So Batman now has coronavirus. They've had to suspend principal photography after Robert Pattinson tested positive for coronavirus. Mm. Whoops. I mean, now that, do you think coronavirus is like Batman's kryptonite?
Could be.
Like, very well could be. And
work that into the story.
Finally, Harry and Meghan, who left the royal family, I guess it was just assumed they didn't need money. Well, guess what they've done? They gave up all their royal money. Now they've signed a production deal with Netflix. So they're probably richer than everybody else in the royal family because they got a Netflix deal. So now they're just loaded. And, Fred, that is Hoffman on Hollywood.
Yeah, speaking of Netflix, I finished that Cobra Kai.
Uh-huh.
I was pleasantly surprised. Okay. You know, too much kid stuff, you know, like teenager angst and all that. But the story actually got pretty good in season two. Season three out in 2021. It's actually the number one show on Netflix now.
All right.
So, all right. That's going to wrap it up. Great job, Aaron. Great job, Hoffman. Great job, Twitchers and Texters and Tweeters and everybody today. Till tomorrow, stay Rona free, bitches.
Listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.